Welcome again to our studies on Know Your Bible. We come now to the book of Ecclesiastes. And the book of Ecclesiastes is one of the three that was written by King Solomon. King Solomon wrote Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Songs, which are recorded in the canon of Scripture in our Bibles. But these books were written in certain time frames in his life. He came to the throne at the age of 19 and died at the age of about 59, 60 years of age. And he had a tumultuous reign, actually, governed by his own character. Now, when he came to the throne, God gave to him the name of Jedidiah, beloved of the Lord. And he was truly the only one that was loved by his mother Bathsheba and his father David. And God had promised David that Solomon would be his heir. So therefore, David spent a long time preparing Solomon for his coming duties as king of Israel. And one of the things that David taught Solomon was the pursuit of wisdom and how important wisdom was above everything else in life. And so he said, as recorded in the book of Proverbs, well, wisdom is the principal thing, and therefore with all thy getting, get wisdom, get understanding. Now, I've said that there were three books that Solomon authored and are in the canon of Scripture in our Bible. And actually, the first one was the Song of Solomon, Song of Songs, as it's called. And we shall be looking at that in our next session. But the Song of Songs was the first one that Solomon wrote in the bloom of his youth. And it's a love relationship between him and the Lord. Well, then, in the maturity of his life, he writes the book of Proverbs that indeed majors in wisdom. But Solomon, you know, did not keep the precepts and the teachings that he gave to others. And in particular, he acquired, 300 concubines, 700 wives. And as Moses in the law had warned, they would turn him away from the things of God. So Ecclesiastes is the book that was written at the end of his life. And it was a summary, if I could say this, of his life. And at the end of his life, having deviated from the things of God, he summed up his character and his personality as being an old and foolish king. So when we come to this book of Ecclesiastes, we are going to look at the teachings of Solomon to the people of Jerusalem at the end of his life. And I want to emphasize that because it's the teachings of one who has left the ways of God, and how sad, how disastrous the end of his life was. And it's an awesome warning to us. Well, we're going to start off then in the book of Ecclesiastes by considering, in actuality, what it means. You see, in Hebrews, there's a word, koleth, that is given to this book. And koleth is the word that's used here, but never again in Scriptures. And it speaks of one who convokes an assembly, or who brings together people for the purpose of instructing them. And therefore, we could say, even as the translators of the King James have given this title of preacher. Kaleth means a preacher or a teacher. And in the first verses, it starts off by saying, well, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Well, the only one that fits that, if I could say this title, is King Solomon. Although David had many sons and daughters of whose names we do not have, yet Solomon is the only one that fits this, because he speaks of his wisdom, he speaks of his wealth, and he speaks of the fact that he was king. Well, this is the only one that fits that description. So we're looking at this book written by Solomon. And Solomon, you know, would teach every Sabbath and often during the week at the synagogues and at the temple. And he would declare wisdom and the ways of God. Now, when he starts off this book of Ecclesiastes, he starts it off by saying, well, everything is vanity. In other words, this life has no purpose. Well, that's what he arrived at the end of his life, you see. And he's going to give us a quick, if I could say this, picture of his life. A life of one who was in the ways of God, given tremendous wisdom by God, such that none other in all the history of man had wisdom like Solomon. But you know, you can be given the gifts of God, but if you don't stay on course, you know, those gifts are not going to help you in the long run. Well, what a thing to say. Here is a preacher. Here is a congregation, the population of Jerusalem. And not only that, you know, we're told that kings came from all nations to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And at the beginning of his reign, of course, they were overcome with the wealth, his wisdom, and the glory of the temple and all the buildings that he had erected in Jerusalem and elsewhere. The Queen of Sheba, for example, said when she came to Jerusalem, she said, well, you know, I heard in my country of all the wondrous things that were happening in Jerusalem and all the wisdom and glory of Solomon. But she said, I didn't believe. I couldn't believe these marvelous reports until I came. And then she went on to say, but the half of the glory of his kingdom was not told unto me. And she said, happy are your servants who listen to the wisdom that flows from your mouth. Well, she had many hard questions to ask Solomon, and Solomon answered everyone to her satisfaction, because the wisdom of God, you see, could answer anything that this queen could ask. So it started off very well, if I could say that. But you see, when you do not put boundaries on your life and on your appetites, and as King Solomon said, you know, he said, whatsoever I saw, whatsoever I desired, he said, I took it. You see, not only women, but everything. Whatever he saw, he desired, you see. And so he had uncontrolled lusts. Now then, the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1, makes this statement that wicked works alienate the mind. And so, you see, Solomon giving himself over to uncontrolled lusts affected his mind. And therefore, although his wisdom remained, and he could declare to others what they should do, he himself had a mind alienated to the things of God. And so, therefore, his own judgment has indeed been corrupted. Now then, we want to look at some very positive things that he said in Ecclesiastes. And we also want to consider those things that he did that should become warnings to us that we do not deviate from the path of God. Because regretfully, you know, at the end he said, I'm an old and foolish king that cannot be corrected. You know, elsewhere in the book of Proverbs, he speaks of the white hair man, you know, being covered with glory and honor if he remains in the path of righteousness. You know, I can't help but contrast two men, Solomon and the Apostle Paul. Both had phenomenal revelations. Both had seen the Lord. In fact, Solomon saw him at least twice, and Paul was caught up to the third heaven. Both were preachers. Both were teachers. In fact, Solomon taught, as it were, his generation. The Apostle Paul taught all generations. He was a teacher. He gave the pattern to the church. Now, I'd like to compare these two men. You see, I always think life is a race. And a race, what is the important thing about a race? Well, it's how you finish that race. And so we've seen how Solomon finished his life, an old and foolish king who could not be corrected. But how did the Apostle Paul finish his life? Well, he said, I'm pressing on toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I want to hit the mark that God has for my life. That for which he apprehended me, I want to apprehend. In other words, he said, I want to fulfill what God's purpose for my life is. You know, another great man of God, Joshua, could say this, or it could be said of him, that everything that God had purpose for his life, Joshua fulfilled. And then another great man, Daniel, you know, at the end of his life, and he would have been, well, 90 years of age, this is what God said to Daniel. He said, you will stand in heaven in your allotted place, in the place I have purposed for you throughout eternity, you will stand. Of Solomon, oh no. He'd wasted his life. He'd ruined his life. And whereas Daniel was filled with contentment and assurance, Joshua could have said, well, everything that God purposed in my life, I fulfilled. The Apostle Paul said, I'm pressing on that I might attain unto the first resurrection from the dead, to rule and reign with Christ throughout the millennial reign and throughout eternity. You know, they all were buoyant, you know, filled with expectancy, and they were all pressing on. And you know, where you run the hardest in a race is at the end. And these great men of God, Daniel was receiving at the age of about 90 or just before, extraordinary revelations, far greater than he had received throughout his life. He was having an understanding of things that were going to happen hundreds of years later. And extraordinary understandings of the tribulation that we're going to see. And he saw Michael, the prince of Israel, stand up. And then there was great tribulation. All that's still to be fulfilled. See, Daniel, you know, was a burning light until the end. Joshua could say, I finished my course, you see. And Paul, likewise, he said, henceforth, a crown of righteousness is waiting me, and it waits all those that love the Lord. Solomon. Oh, no. Solomon's end was disastrous. And it's an awesome warning to us, you know, that at the end of our life, you know, we should be pressing on. The joy of the Lord should be stronger. Wisdom should be increasing. There should be that sense of peace and satisfaction, holy satisfaction, in having fulfilled God's will for our life. Well, the book of Ecclesiastes, you know, speaks of one with uncontrolled lusts. You know, the Apostle Paul, alluding to this, says, you know, I keep my body under, lest having preached to others, I myself would be a castaway. How that sums up Solomon. At the end of his life, God was his enemy. At the beginning, God said, Jedidiah, beloved of the Lord. At the end, God was raising up men in Israel, outside of Israel, that were afflicting Solomon because God had turned away from Solomon, because Solomon had turned away from God. And I would just, you know, implore you, you know, let these warnings keep us on the narrow and straight path of righteousness. For we are told that the pathway of righteousness is like a shining light that shineth more brightly unto the perfect day. Well, we're going to have a look at other things in Ecclesiastes. But, you know, here's a beautiful promise that I love. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 26, for God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather, to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. It's also his vanity and vexation of spirit. But look at that wonderful promise. You know that Solomon declares here. He said, to the one that pleaseth God, God will give three precious gifts. The first one is wisdom. And we are told in the word of God by King David, Solomon, and others, that wisdom is the principal thing. It is more precious than rubies, and anything else that you can desire cannot be compared to wisdom. God will give to us wisdom if we ask him, but also if we please him. And so wisdom is, if I could say this, living life successfully. Wisdom gives a certain well-being to our body, our physical body, our soul, our emotions, and our spirit. Wisdom enables us to live life successfully. Knowledge. Oh, knowledge is so beautiful, of the past, present, and future. And when you understand what God has been doing, is doing, and is going to do, you have such a settling in your spirit. As you look at things amongst the nations and understand what God is doing and the handiwork of God and what God is developing amongst the nations and what the ultimate is, the return of Jesus Christ and bringing in a millennium of righteousness. If we qualify, we'll be resurrected to be with Christ, you see, and to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. What a glorious expectation and hope God puts within our hearts if we will walk righteously and run the race and hit the mark. Well, that's what knowledge gives. But you know, joy, I mean, you can do anything if you've got joy. It's amazing. You can be dead tired, but then you see something that you enjoy and you get fresh strength coming into you. That's why Nehemiah, that godly administrator and governor of Jerusalem and Judea, you know, at the restoration period, could write this. He said this. He said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And oh, how wonderful it is, and especially as you get older, to have the strength of the Lord coming into you, enabling you to continue to run the race, even when others drop out because of weariness. Now then, that is what God promises. To those that love him, wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Well, there are certain other things here in Ecclesiastes. You know, in chapter 3, he says this, there's a time for everything under the sun. God has his timetable, not only with the nations, but with us in our own personal life. I want to say this, God is a very hands-on God. He's not only one that can, as it were, speak the universe into existence. But you know, there was a famous scientist in England, Professor James, and he was an astrologer. And he looked into the stars and he said, "Oh, those stars, billions of years away, light years away." He said, "How can the God, you know, who put all those stars into the universe, you know, be involved in our lives?" And then he looked with a microscope and observed the smallest of God's creation, little microbes and so forth, and he saw the intricacy of them, and he said, yes. He said, "The God that made the stars is the God that made these microbes and these little insects, and how perfectly they are made." He said, "I believe that God indeed involves himself in the smallest details of our lives." In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said this. He said, "You know, there's not a sparrow that falls to the ground, but that my heavenly Father doth not know it." And my wife and I were in one of the remote areas of New Zealand, right down the South Pacific. And we were walking along a road, I suppose, that was traversed all rarely by anyone during a week. And we saw that there had been a storm. And that storm had brought seagulls and even little sparrows and so forth and thrown them onto the ground. And there they lay dead. You know, and I was thinking, you know, nobody else probably would ever see them. But God knew each one. And not one had fallen to the ground, but God knew. So God is very hands-on, and also, you know, he has a season for everything. We have the four seasons, don't we? Spring, summer, fall, and winter. And each season accomplishes what God purposes in the production of a harvest. And so it is. In our lives, we have seasons in our lives. Seasons of quietness, seasons of activity, seasons where new things spring up. You see, but as Solomon said, there's a season for everything. So let us understand the seasons in our lives. Well, we move on, and you know, there's so much, of course, in Ecclesiastes, but we want to get the main theme here. And it is that it is to fear God. It is to fear God, you see. And, you know, Solomon, with all his wealth, said it doesn't bring happiness. Everything he desired and acquired didn't satisfy his heart. But he spoke of the fact, you know, what beautiful rest it was for one who was contented. And oh, as Paul says, You know, I like to compare Solomon and Paul. You know, Solomon, failure, Paul, successful. And this is what Paul said. He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. And that essentially is what Solomon was saying. He was looking, you know, at what he could have been and what he was. And he said, you know, the peace and joy that God gives, the merry heart that God gives, you know, satisfies us. And it reminds me of a little story. Cecil Rhodes, who was the great empire builder of the British Empire in Africa, who, you know, formed nations like Rhodesia, North Rhodesia, Southern Rhodesia, giving his name to them. You know, and he said at the end of his life, he says, so much to do, but it's a little time to do it. But then he was in a banquet, and there in the corner sat General William Booth of the Salvation Army. Do you know what Cecil Rhodes said, this great empire builder? He said this. He said, I would give everything I have to have the peace and quietness and the joy and contentedness that that dear old gentleman has. And virtually, that's a message of Ecclesiastes. You see, oh, choose the right things in life. And how did Solomon finish Ecclesiastes? He said, well, he said, the end of the matter is this, and I'm going to read it, you know, is to fear the Lord. This is the conclusion of the matter, and keep his commandments, and keep his commandments. May we do what Solomon told us to do, but not what he did.